Shabbat shalom to everybody out there. Shrink that. And I'll start the video countdown. I hope. Okay. And then I'll put up the study and we start. Let's ask God to bless and anoint this study. Would you mind standing? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the Holy Spirit, living God. We pray that you'll cover us in your holy blood, any sin, any blemish, any spot. We pray that you bless and anoint this Sabbath day. Bless everything that's done here today, the conversations, the reading of your word, the study, let it be fruitful for everyone. I pray you'll help everyone, heal everyone, touch everyone in Yeshua's name. Lord, I've been reading your word so much, and it says that without signs, people will never believe. We need some signs, Father. We need you to do something in Yeshua's name. May you touch everyone and heal everyone today and bless everyone in Yeshua's name. And God bless you on the Shabbat. Amen. Well, here we are at Warner Messiah Congregation in Hohenwald, Tennessee. There's the website. There's the email. Today is the May 14th, 2022. It's still Maya's month, unfortunately. However, God, the God of Israel, has his own calendar. We're in the second month of God called Ziph, and it's the day 12. And Ziph means brightness, and it really is bright out there. I notice all the trees are really blooming, and everything's blooming out there. That's 1 Kings 6:1. For your convenience, all my studies can be viewed at these websites right here. And I was thinking about that a lot today. I was updating my external servers, my external hard drives. Maybe one day this won't be here, but it's here today. So take advantage of it. You listen to the studies, you could read the studies, you could watch the studies, you could do anything you want to them, okay? Upload them. Coming soon, which is June 12th, but that'll be here before we know it, Chag Shavuot, Feast of Weeks. There it is. And it's called Chag HaKatzir, too, the Feast of Harvest. And I got that Hebrew from a different program. That's why it's coming out nice now. There it is. And there's the word Pentecosti in the Greek. Today is the third Sabbath of the seven Sabbaths we were told to count. We're probably one of the only congregations that's not counting Omers, besides all the Protestants. They're not doing nothing. So, we're counting Sabbaths, and that's written in Leviticus 23. You shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. And we can count up to seven Sabbaths. We're at the third one right now. And then, of course, the morrow after the seventh Sabbath is the 50th day, because seven sevens are 49 plus one day makes 50, right? And that's what a Pentecost means. This is our seven-week journey we observe in memorial to meet the God of Israel again on Mount Sinai, to receive the commandments and receive the Holy Spirit of God. May the Holy Spirit always be with us. And I thank God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Amen. So basically, we're thinking about from slaves of Egypt, our last lives of sin, to the people of God. And that's the giving of the Torah and the giving of the Holy Spirit. So how are you behaving these 50 days, physically and spiritually? That's a good, interesting subject. Today's topic always makes me think of Louise. It says, requirements of God. She always wants to know what's required. So what does God require of you? You know, I coined a few proverbs a few years ago. They go like this. If you don't pray, you won't stay. If you don't fast, you will not last. Unfortunately, I've seen this happen many times to people. A lot of people, they think they're getting away with it, but sooner or later, they'll dwindle away if you don't do these things. James tells us, be merciful, for he, the Father, shall have judgment without mercy, who had showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Brother Micah says, wherewith shall I come before Jehovah and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offering, with calves of a year old? Will Jehovah be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? Should you do that? No. He hath showed thee, O man and woman, what is good. And what does Jehovah require of you? Here's what God wants from you: to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And Deuteronomy 10 says basically the same thing. And now Israel, and you're Israel, part of the Israel of God, what doth Jehovah thy God require of you? He wants you to fear Jehovah your God. He wants you to walk in all his ways. He wants you to love him. He wants you to serve him, with your God, with all your heart and with all your soul. He wants you to keep the commandments of Jehovah. He wants you to keep the statutes, which I command you this day for your good. He says, behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens is Jehovah thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. Only Jehovah had a delight in your fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you, above all people, as it is this day. And that's pretty amazing that he chose us out of everybody we know, out of all our friends and all our relatives and all our acquaintances. He chose us. Only Jehovah had a delight in your fathers to love them. He chose their seed after them, even you, above all people, as it is this day. So above all the people out there today, believe it or not, we're chosen. And I was talking to some Christians yesterday, and they were like, boy, you should hear what they say. Such terrible things that are unscriptural. They think that this grace, they don't have to keep, you know, there's only two commandments Jesus gave. And I said, Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments. The first four take care of how you handle God, and the other six tell you how you treat your neighbor. And I said, but if you don't understand that, it says 60 times in the for the Gospels and letters, I said, it says the word Sabbath. And I could prove to you, I told them, that I could show you that the Catholic Church admits they erased it. And they just said, yeah, but we believe on Sunday is when we give God our first fruits. I said, what are you talking about? You don't give God any first fruits. I said, but God's Sabbath is the seventh day. Read it. I said, read your Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. So I've had these conversations lately, and, you know, it's a little bit of a battle, and I could tell already, if it goes in one ear and comes out the other, I don't know. Then the person was starting to ask me, where are the feasts of the Lord? He never heard of that. I said, Leviticus 23. And then they try to say to me, well, do we have to keep the sacrifices? I said, no. I said, oh, this is all pointing to the Messiah. I said, but I can't discuss it right now because I have other things to do. And I was with you guys, of course. Anyway, for Jehovah your God is the God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God and a mighty and a terrible, and which regards not persons nor takes reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loves the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love you therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall fear Jehovah thy God, him shall you serve, and to him shall you cleave, and swear by his name. Amen. He is your praise, he is your God, that had done for you these great and terrible things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, that's 70 people. Now Jehovah your God had made you as the stars of heaven for multitude. That's pretty good. From 70 people, now they're as the stars for as the heaven in multitude. Then we go to Deuteronomy 18:18. God says, I will raise unto them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto you, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So we're required to know the word of God. That's why we've got to make sure we understand it. Whether you can read it, hear it, listen to it, whatever you do, make sure you get it in your heart, mind, and soul. When you shall vow a vow unto Jehovah your God, you shall not slack to pay it. For Jehovah your God will surely require it of you, and it will be sin unto you if you don't keep God's things that you say you're going to do to God. Ecclesiastes 3 says, that which had been now, and that which had been is now, and that which is to be had already been. And God requires that which is past. So everything that we do, we're going to give account to God one day. So remember, we have to observe God's word. We have to pray. We have to fast. We have to show and love mercy. Show mercy and love mercy. and walk humbly with your God. It's really important. And we have to give alms. Alms is very important. That's showing mercy, compassionateness, exercising toward your brothers and sisters, you know, the poor, or if we don't have any, you know, anybody else here. Yeshua said, take heed, this is pertaining to alms, take heed that you do not your alms before men, mankind, that they see it, that they may see them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do alms, do not sound the trumpet before you. I'm coming to do alms, you know. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do your alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand does, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. So everything you do, do it before God. Don't do it before anybody else to get admiration or, you know, thanks from anybody else. Now we go to prayer. When you pray, don't be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets. That's ridiculous, that they may be seen of men. Could you imagine that? Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into a quiet place, like a closet. And when you shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret, and your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. I thank the Lord for prayer, and I know He's a God that hears prayer. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You know, God's not deaf, and he definitely hears what you're saying. So be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner, therefore pray you, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive our sins, amen. And lead us not into temptation. Don't let us go into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen. You know, if you forgive people on this, you forgive your brothers and sisters their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not, if you don't forgive your brothers and sisters, which is mankind, their trespasses, whatever they do to you, neither will your Father forgive you for your trespasses. That's really important to remember. And then we come to fasting, which is very important. I was reading this morning, I think I was reading, was it this morning or yesterday, Jesus said that it's, you know, he was with them, you know. And well, let's just read this verse. Moreover, when you fast, don't be as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. So obviously, you're going to appear before people. You're not going to be hiding somewhere. You know, that means you go about your business like every day, so that you may appear before men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. That's really important to know, and really important to test. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Never. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where the thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that's in you be darkness, wow, how great is that darkness? You cannot serve two masters. That's really important, because either you'll hate the one and love the other, or else you'll hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and the world, mammon. Okay? Therefore I say, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And behold the fowls of the air. And I got to be honest with you, I started beholding a lot of fowls of the air since I met my wife. She has me beholding a lot of fowls of the air. But they sow not, neither do they reap, and they don't gather their food into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. I know he's fed the birds all week, and we like feeding the birds around our house so they stick around, because they're very, what do you call it, respected persons. If there's no food, they split and go somewhere else. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to a statute? And why take statute? And why take you thought for raiment? Right. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much clothe you, O you of little faith? Having faith is really important. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the nations, the Gentiles, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Does this mean God knows what you need? God knows exactly what you need. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Here's what he wants you to do. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Amen. I believe that. Take no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto this day is the evil thereof. That's about the size of it. True. That's true. Then, this is Matthew 9. Then came to him his disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, and your disciples fast not? Yeshua said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? That was, in other words, on here, why would they need to fast? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast. So it's really important. Okay? Obviously, we believe in Yeshua by, you know, just by faith, and that's why we need to fast and pray. And this 1 Corinthians 13, charity sounds like a Messiah attribute to me. It reminds me of Messiah, even though it's not Messiah himself, but it's like the attributes of the Messiah. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become like a sounding brass or a tinkling spirit, cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, oh brother, and have not charity, it profits you nothing. Charity suffers long. These are attributes of the Messiah. Charity is kind. Charity envies not. Charity doesn't vaunt, lift up itself. It's not puffed up. Charity does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not his own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. Charity rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. These are attributes that, just like the Messiah, wants us to have. Charity bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So you have to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure. Four things: bear, believe, hope, and endure. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, yeah, they're going to fail. Especially the ones we're not sure of. Whether there be tongues, they might cease, and whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. And now we see through a glass darkly, amen, but then face to face. One day we'll see God. Now I know in part, and then shall I know, even as also I am known. Amen. And now abides faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest is charity. Charity is very important. You might have read this last night, but I had this in the study, so I'm going to read it again. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I say, through the grace given unto me, to every person that is among you, not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every person the measure of faith. As we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. That's really important to remember. So we being many are not one, are one body in Messiah, and every one members one of another. That's right. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches, on teaching. He that exhorts, on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules, let him with diligence. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Amen. Let love be without dissimulation, hypocrisy. That's what the dissimulation means. Plus, to abhor that which is evil. Hate that which is evil, and only cleave to that which is good. Yep, without dissimulation, hypocrisy. So, let love be without this, without hypocrisy. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly and sisterly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord Yeshua, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Amen. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Just basically be of the same mind one toward another. Don't mind high things, but come down. Condescend to people of low estate. Don't be wise in your own conceits. Don't recompense to anyone evil for evil, right? Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it's possible, as much that lies in you, live peaceably with everybody, right? Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, right? Because vengeance is God's. But rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, God said. I will repay, says Jehovah. Therefore, if your enemy be hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. In so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. This is really important. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. And again, we're going to move to Luke chapter 6. It's not a long study today, but I thought it was a good study. Be therefore merciful, as your Father which also is merciful. That's Luke 6:36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not in your own spirit, that ye be not judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven you. Give, and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So whatever you do, it's going to be done unto you. And if you do good, it's going to be bubbling over. Always be clean before your God. If you forgive people their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive people their trespasses, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. And of course, we have to remember not to complain or murmur. Because we see in the book of Numbers that it says the people complained and it displeased Jehovah, and Jehovah heard it. Jehovah hears all that stuff. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of Jehovah burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto Jehovah, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of Jehovah burnt among them. That's pretty severe, huh? Don't complain. Be faithful. Have faith. It's really important. Actually, we by faith we stand. You all know that, right? Everything that we believe, it's by faith. None of us seen Moses do anything, or Jesus, Yeshua do anything, or the prophet. We don't know the prophets personally, you know. Right? Everything we're doing is by faith. So whether you know it or not, you have faith, and make sure it grows. For by faith you stand. We walk by faith, not by sight. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And above everything, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. For herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written in Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. Amen. So we live by our faith. Whatever faith you have, that's what makes you last and makes you continue on. So make sure you, if you're weak in faith, pray for God, pray for more faith. So it's a short study today, like I said. In closing today, here are some attributes to remember. Have faith in the Messiah and his blood for forgiveness. It's all by faith, right? Don't forget about alms. Don't forget about prayer. Don't forget about fasting. Don't forget about showing and having and love for mercy. Don't forget about walking humbly with your God. And don't make sure you overcome evil. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, I'm going to end here. It's not a long study today because we got different things. We're going to talk and converse here and have lunch. But I want to thank you for being here today. Next week will be the fourth Sabbath of the seven Sabbaths we are told to count. Lord willing, of course, I always say Lord willing. You never know what's going to happen. May God always be with you and heal you and strengthen you in Yeshua's name. May God bless this day. May God bless the food we eat and the singing we do, if we do any. And make it all be to the glory of the living God. Shabbat shalom. I'll stop the audio.